First of all, I'm Brother John Swisher from Hot Spring. I weigh 200 and some odd pounds.
Yeah.
Thought I was going to tell y'all it, didn't you?
I didn't get that.
200 and what?
Some odd pounds.
299, huh?
Round there. No, I'm a long way from there, I hope. But I just want to say we come over to worship God with you tonight. And I'll tell you what I want us to do right now. And let's everybody get out of her seat and kick her leg. Come on. Let's everybody get out. Woo! That's the way. Let's get loosened up. Now we believe in worshiping God in Hot Springs, and I don't guess Brother Rutledge has ever told you that we shout every once in a while over there. I believe every time we come over, on Sunday night, right. He said he's going to sneak over some Sunday night to really make sure that we're doing it. But we do it on Tuesday and Thursday nights too, and we believe in worshiping God. We know you do here in Pine Bluff also, and but I'd like to thank Brother Rutledge for letting us come over here tonight. Lord called me about 3 years ago to start preaching, and I've been preaching along here and there at the church and over in Malvern, and he impressed me about a month or two ago, said, time's getting too close for my coming for you to just be sitting around like that. You're not getting anything done. We're not winning any souls just preaching here and there, and no more than I was preaching, and I went and talked to Brother Shields about it, and he agreed with me, the Lord is soon to come. And I believe we get to living sometimes like the Lord's never going to come back. Because I know I've been guilty of it myself, and I'm sure everybody else here has too. But if the Lord's not coming back in this generation, folks, he's not going to come back. That's right. I didn't get any amens out of that, but I believe it. If the Lord's not coming back in the generation you're living in right now, he's not going to come back, according to this book. That's right. If you'd like to turn with me to Psalms, the 27th chapter. Very, very familiar chapter, and I'm sure there's many millions of preachers preach on this, but I'm going to take a thought from it tonight. Oh, and I forgot to explain how come I whistle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, how about that whistling duet y'all had here? I heard about that. Oh, Lord. I'm still whistling for the Lord, ain't you?
All right.
Well, Brother embarrassing my wife there. That's all right. She gets embarrassed easy. Now, whenever I first started in the church, I come out of a Baptist church. And Baptists don't sing but two or three different songs. You know, that's about all they ever sing. But I come into the church, and Brother Shields, Brother Rutledge says he's quite a bit older than him, but I don't know, is he?
A whole lot.
I kidded Brother Rutledge about being old one night, and he told me, I'll have you know I'm not but in my 50s. Brother Shields is 74. But Brother Shields every once in a while strike up a song that nobody in church knows because he's been in Pentecost for a few years.
Yeah.
And so I just start whistling along with it. And I used to like to whistle when I was out in the world anyhow, but Brother Rutledge, he's seen me out there whistling. You know Brother Rutledge, he kids a few people just every once in a while. And so he got up and talked about Whistler out there, and he calls me Whistler everywhere I go now. So. But that's the story behind that. I whistle to worship God, and I believe that you can worship God in many ways. I believe I heard a story of a man, I don't know whether you told it, you've told us many over at our place. About a man worshiping God with hooks on his hand and clapping his hooks. And I believe that we're to worship God however we can. Worship God. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so I was whistling to worship the Lord. And you can get a blessing out of that too. I'll let you know right now. But in Psalms, the 27th chapter, in the 4th verse, it says, one thing I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That scripture there says that He's going to, that will I seek after. What's He going to seek after? He's going to seek after that desire. And He desires to serve the Lord. A desire is to long for or to wish earnestly. But you know, I know a lot of people in this life that have had desires that whenever they died, they still had that same desire and never obtained it. Never obtained it. We've got some folks over in our altars now that desire the Holy Ghost, but they're not striving for it. And I'm going to leave a little thought with you, a driving desire. A driving desire. If you're going to get anywhere with your desires, you're going to have to put something, you're going to have to power it with something.
That's right.
That's right. You can have a desire. I could have had a desire to live for God whenever I first come and went to the altar. I could have had that desire out there in that seat and sat there and still been desiring it. Been so hungry for it. I mean that I could taste it. You know, but I'd still be sitting there desiring it. You know, that's not going to get you heaven. It's not going to get you heaven. A desire is a good thing. But you have to go after that desire. That's right. And if you don't go after that desire, you're going to be sitting there when the Lord comes back just desiring. Now, whenever I first seen my wife, I'll tell you, I got a desire.
Yeah.
Embarrass her again. And I went after it. She went after me too, truth now. But I've got a beautiful family now, and if I hadn't went after that desire, I wouldn't have the beautiful family, and I wouldn't be in church right now, because my wife's the one that led me to this church. But I'm sure, I believe somebody said that we've got some newlyweds sitting over here right now. Somebody else had some desires too. And that's good. We've got to, the church has got to grow somehow, hasn't it, brother? You can't bring them in off streets. You got to marry them off and have some children. No, we've got to bring them in off the streets because that's what the Lord, He charged us with.
Amen.
He said after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to receive power. And you're going to be witnesses unto me. The Lord impressed this to me here just a few weeks ago. I was getting down and praying and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, now I want to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Brother Rutledge preached about such things over in Hot Springs one night. And you know something? He told me if I didn't get out and witness, I wasn't going to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I'd never thought of it that way. But you know, He charged us to witness to this generation, witness to our friends and loved ones out there on the job. And to have a desire to see them saved. But you got to have that driving desire. You got to have more than just a desire and see them walk by and say, boy, I wish they'd come to church. You got to have more than that in your life.
Amen.
You've got to get out there and go to work for them. You've got to let something drive your life. Let me tell you, if that don't drive your life, the devil will sure try it.
Amen.
And he'll do it. Before I come to the Lord, I smoked cigarettes. And nobody here does? Shouldn't have told that, should I? No, I know everybody here has had some habit that the devil drove us with. And he enjoyed driving us every minute.
Amen.
And we couldn't get loose from it. God, I tried 3 or 4 times to quit cigarettes. Lord knows, and I couldn't get loose from them. But you know, I was bound with chains. That's right. And I couldn't get loose from it. I desired to get loose from it. But I couldn't get loose from it. That cigarette made a slave out of me. I changed brands. I even got to where I was smoking Camel non-filter cigarettes because that desire was just craving and craving and craving, and I couldn't get rid of it. And I really desired to get rid of that thing. But I couldn't get off of it. But whenever I found God, I found that there was somebody else that could drive that desire. So I turned it over to the Lord. And He drove those things out of my life. Drove them out of my life. And that's what the Holy Ghost will do for you tonight. If you'll only let Him. I know we sit around our churches and some people live good out on the job. I mean, you couldn't touch your life as far as saying they're not sinning. But are you really, do the people really know where you go to church? Or do they just think you're a real quiet person?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've got to have that desire to see lost sinners saved. I've been teaching home Bible studies for about the last 2 years, and it is the best blessing I've ever had in my life. That's right, to go in those people's homes and tell them about the Holy Ghost and fire and what it's done for my life. I went home many a night speaking in tongues, God blessing me for what I'd been out ministering Him for. And it's wonderful. Some people say, well, I'm just so bashful that I can't witness. Well, God give us the power. He give us the Holy Ghost power. That's what's going to do the witnessing for you. It's not going to be you. If you'll let God take over in your life, you'll witness for Him. That's right.
Hallelujah. I believe.
You timing me?
I mean, that's you.
Okay. I don't know when I started. Now, I was glad to get loose from those cigarettes and drinking and the different things this life, and I know we've all been possessed by those things. But the devil, after we get in the church, there's other things that he'll go after you with. That's right. He didn't quit just because you come into the church. He'll get you to grumbling about people. There's just numbers of things. I won't get on to that too much. Brother Rutledge may have that for Sunday morning. But in 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, 9th verse, if anybody would like to turn there, it says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it." He saw it. You know, the Lord's soon to come. And are we really looking for the Lord like we should be looking for Him? Are you going to see Him when He comes back? He told him right here that if you see me, this, you're going to obtain this double portion. And you know, we're going to have to see the Lord come back. But to be able to see Him, what do you have to do? You're going to have to be looking for Him in the clouds. You're going to have to be looking at the signs of the time. And if you're really looking at the signs of the time, your heart's going to be groaning down inside for your loved ones. That's right, because the Lord is soon to come back. He's soon to split the clouds of glory. That's right. There's been a lot of people that's been preached through down through the last 100 or so years since we've had the pouring out of the Spirit in the latter days, but that have never seen the Lord come back. That's right. They're dead and gone in the grave. But did you know whenever Noah was building that ark, that there was a generation that seen that thing float off?
Amen.
And there was some that went by the grave. And I believe tonight that there's going to be some young people that may have their marriages planned and a lot of other things that will never be able to be married in this life. Because the Lord's going to call us out of here. And that's the most important thing to us here tonight, is to have that desire and to have it driving us. Elisha here in this scripture, he was following Elijah. And the Lord had called him under this ministry to be a servant. And don't you know that he got tired of washing his dishes all the time and doing his laundry? I don't know, Elijah might have had smelly feet and he had to wash his socks. But you know, he had a driving desire inside him. And he said, I'm not quitting here. I know what there is down at the end of the road for me. And that's what kept him going. And whenever there was obstacles coming in his way, right, in these scripture texts here, and he he'd stop Elijah, or Elijah tell him to go ahead and turn back. The Lord has called me down to the Jordan River. And he'd say, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.
Amen.
I'm not stopping here now.
That's right.
I'm not turning back now. There's something driving me down inside.
Amen.
Same as the Holy Ghost is driving us tonight.
Amen.
If you're really living right, the Holy Ghost is in the driver's seat and driving you. It's the desire that you have, but you're letting it drive you. You're not letting the devil drive you. You can sit around here and listen to the devil, and he'll still drive you. Just because you got the Holy Ghost don't mean that he's going to quit trying to drive your vehicle.
Amen.
That's right. He'll come after you with everything he's got, and he's coming after us in this last day because he knows the Lord is fixing to split those clouds. We've got to be looking for him. We've got to be in the, or let the Holy Ghost be in the driver's seat. But we've got to keep that desire churning down inside.
Amen.
That's right. We've got to have that driving desire down inside. And Elisha had that desire, and he obtained that double portion. And don't you know that's what I'm here striving for tonight? That's right. One of these days, I'm going to see him over in glory land and hear him say, well done. That's right. That's what we come here tonight to worship him for. We didn't come out to tell about our troubles and problems, but we come to worship God and magnify his name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, blessed Savior.
Amen.
But after he obtained that double portion, he'd been ministering with Elijah for quite a while now. And he had seen him take that mantle many a time.
Right.
And he knew the power that abided in that mantle. He gathered it up. One of the first things, whenever he left, he gathered that mantle up. He knew the power of God was in it. That's right. We know the power of God is in this Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you're ever going to leave this ground, you've got to have the Holy Ghost in your
Amen.
Life.
That's right.
That's right. You've got to come down here and you've got to repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. Somebody was testifying at church the other night about telling people about the Holy Ghost. And I remember right after I received the Holy Ghost, I worked at a filling station for Brother Bob Miller. Next morning, the first customer drove in, big old Chrysler from Chicago. And I run out there, and instead of asking him to fill it up with premium, I said, I got the Holy Ghost last night. He said, you did what? But let me tell you something. I had something down in there driving me. That's right. And I wanted to tell people about it. That's right.
That's right.
I wanted to tell people about it. And that desire, I've been letting the Holy Ghost drive it ever since. I still love to tell people about it. I work about, from an average of 15 or 20 people there where I work. And so I've got the advantage on them. If I want to witness to them, they've got to listen. And I enjoy it. And I've got some people there that they desire. They do. They desire to live for God. But they're not letting the Holy Ghost drive them. They're just desiring. We've got one young lady, I believe Brother Rutledge was there one night when she come with me, and we baptized her. And she cried. I sat and listened to her at work, witnessed to the other people. And she didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, but she took the scriptures I had given her and witnessing to her and telling the other people about it. But the devil had been driving her so long, and she loved to play softball. She loved to smoke her cigarettes. She said, I just don't know how I can give them up. And I explained to her over and over, God will change those desires if you'll only let him. But she wouldn't let him. She desired to, but she would not let the Holy Ghost drive her, have that driving desire down inside. I remember right after I got in church, I went into a pool hall. And I'd been baptized one night, and about probably 2 days later, I didn't know any of the doctrine of the church, come out of the Baptist church. And I shot pool about every day. So I went into the pool hall, and I was in there shooting. But you know, that particular day, everybody that cursed in there, it just stood out. I felt so uneasy in there.
That's right.
I felt terrible in there. And the young man that was with me, I told him, I said, I've got to get out of here. Just like that, too. I told him, I've got to get out of here. I didn't feel right in there. And you know what? The Holy Ghost was driving my life. I hadn't received it yet, but I was letting him lead me. And I could have stayed in there and said, well, there's nothing wrong with this. Nobody had preached to me about it. But I felt his spirit down inside. And it was leading me. And that's what we've got to do tonight. The preacher shouldn't have to get up and preach a lot of the things he preaches sometimes. That's right. If you'll only let the Holy Ghost lead you. That's right. We've got to have that desire down inside and let it lead us on the glory land. It can do it. The preacher's job should be relatively easy. That's right. Y'all should be able to just send him on 6-month paid vacations.
Yeah.
Two of them. Huh? But his job ought to be easy. But the Holy Ghost was leading me. And I smoked cigarettes. But you know, I was going through the house one day and I flipped one of the cigarettes up and I was fixing to light it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, not audibly, but just in my mind. You know, said, my children don't smoke those things. I crushed them up and I threw them away. Said I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. I was seeking it. But God was cleaning my life up. That's right. And if we'll do what God asks us to and let that Holy Ghost lead us, let that desire be driven by the Holy Ghost. You know something? We'll be ready tonight for the Lord to come back. We'll be earnestly desiring to see him come back tonight. There's a lot. I remember whenever I first got in church before I got the Holy Ghost, I didn't feel that way. I wasn't ready. I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. I've got it tonight. And I want to know that in the morning or tonight, whenever the Lord comes back, that I can feel ready. Now, whenever we leave here now, you shouldn't be thinking in your mind, oh God, hold off. Don't come tomorrow or tonight. Hold off, Lord. He's got the time predestined. That's right. And we're going to have to get ourselves ready. We're going to have to adjust our calendars to his. He's not going to adjust it to us. And if you're not ready when he comes back, you know who's going to suffer through it? You are. And Lord knows, I don't want to be in that condition. I want that desire to drive me. I want to be ready to go over yonder. Lord bless you.
Really?